Act 1. Grief.
My name is Mahitha. I use she, her pronouns. I'm 17 years old.
I'm 17 years old.
Do work in the climate advocacy space, specifically with youth-led climate advocacy groups focused on climate action, education, and justice. Yeah, I feel climate grief. As I understand the term.
Mahitha Ramachandran has spent years worrying about climate change. She's a 16-year-old junior at Fox Chapel Area High School. On the day we met in September, she was on her way to a student climate strike in Pittsburgh, along with about 150 other young people chanting and carrying signs.
My sign, fight for our future. It is our future.
I think that anyone who really knows the truth of what's happening to our communities and to our planet and to the people in it, and the inaction that's been happening for many, many years.
She says sometimes it feels like there's a natural disaster, like a storm or wildfire, nearly every day.
And you're constantly being like berated with this kind of news that it just feels so urgent and so necessary to learn about it and to know what's going on.
She remembers when she first started looking online about climate change in middle school, she felt panic but didn't know how to talk about it.
It's kind of impossible not to feel that grief. I would say the work that I do in climate advocacy is not motivated by that grief.
Yeah, I feel grief.
You feel grief when you're losing something and when you care about something, and acknowledging that that's why I'm feeling that grief is a reminder of why this work is so urgent and necessary.
Yes, that fight for our future. It is our future.
I think it's dangerous to have that grief alone motivate the work. So I wouldn't say that that's what it is, but I think that it does influence the conversations and discussions that I have with, especially with other young people about it.
A recent survey of 10,000 young people aged 16 to 25 worldwide found that nearly 60% are very worried or extremely worried about climate change. They reported feeling sad, afraid, anxious, and angry.
I do think young people are uniquely affected by climate grief. And I say that based on experience of talking to other young people versus talking to older people about the climate crisis. Perhaps the unique thing about it for young people is that there is very prominently a sense of betrayal, a realization that people who you were taught from a very young age, you were taught that these people were supposed to know what's best and protect you and, you know, make laws that make sense. And it was understood that there are people that would make sure everything was okay.
As a young person, you're thinking about all these things and you're trying to grapple with how are these adults not thinking about these things.
You realize that that's not the case.
Yeah, definitely there's anger there.
Thank you.
Interlude. Privilege.
I think that with discussions of like eco-anxiety and stuff, it like this should come up. Where like when you have a position to act and you have the time and the space and the like resources to do something, you have to. You have to, for all those people that can't, and for all those people who are more affected than you are by it. Yes, the grief. Yes, the anxiety. Yes, we should talk about it. Yes, it's a valid feeling to have, but ultimately, if you allow it to paralyze you, I guess that's the danger of it, is allowing those emotions to paralyze you. And that's the danger of any kind of activism being motivated by fear or anxiety, is that what happens when it reaches a point of paralyzing you, and like when that takes over, what happens? That conversation needs to involve privilege. And it's important to take care of your mental health and to practice self-care. But we have to think always about privilege and about the positions and roles that we have, and the power that we have, and the people that don't have that and what we owe them.
Act 2. Hope.
I think there's a lot I could say about hope, but the problem is more that I don't know where to start, and more importantly, I don't know where to end. It reminds me of the often quoted Greta Thunberg quote.
Adults keep saying, we owe it to the young people to give them hope. But I don't want your hope. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. And then I want you to act.
And I think the reason it's often quoted is because it resonates so much with this idea that we discuss a lot about the dangers of hope in leading to being complicit or inaction. I feel like the conversation goes to hope, especially, as I was saying before, those conversations end up becoming about hope because it is so hard to exist within a crisis. And instead of facing the crisis, we turn to hope. And I think that that is human. But I also think that we need to acknowledge the things that we're avoiding by turning to hope. The grief and the anger and the fear
is just as important, if not more important, than the hope. I think young people also have a unique role in that the idea of having hope has not been transformed or shaped by decades of experience with life, and that we can create our own ideas of what hope means. Again, because it is this term we throw around a lot without really defining it. As young people, we are making our own definition of what that means. The work that I do and that all the people that I work with, all the fellow young people that I work with in climate advocacy, all of that work isn't motivated by hope. It's motivated by urgency and necessity and just an overwhelming sense that there's no option of not doing that work. It's not, at least for me, it's because I'm hopeful that we have power, and I know that it needs to be done.